Welcome to Playing Games with My Heart, a podcast where we take a look at the good, the bad, and the sexy of romance in video games. Whether it's a dating sim with an ooey-gooey love center or an action-packed adventure with a little romance on the side, we're getting to the heart of each and every one. I'm your host, Addison Peacock, and it's time to click, click, fall in love. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the pilot presentation of Playing Games with My Heart, a romantic games podcast from yours truly, Addison Peacock. This show was born of chaos and sleepless nights, clicking through dating sims in a desperate attempt to wring some serotonin out of the cursed year that is 2020. And thus, I added the secret ingredient of Chemical X, and the podcast was born. And now I'm here, with two cherished friends. Friends of the show, I guess, and friends of my life, Alex Flanagan and Andrew Giada. Aww. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thanks. Hello. I'm going to probably pre-record some kind of more cohesive intro, maybe.
I thought you nailed it.
Oh, thank you. I forgot to include my tagline.
Oh, you have it. Do you want to take another run at it?
Can you just snap off a piece of that for us?
Yeah, what's your tagline?
You already know it, Alex.
I don't know it.
Gotta kiss them all.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Thank you. I am touch starved in this quarantine and therefore have been playing a lot of romance games, which is not much of a change.
You don't need a reason.
I was going to say not much of a change from pre-quarantine. It just means that I get more emotionally invested. This is a brief tangent, but I was playing a different game where they had some bonus material where you could marry your selected love interest. And during the wedding sequence, to me and one of my love interests, I cried real human tears.
Oh, buddy. You didn't even invite me. That's my dog.
He's here.
Oh, hi, Bear.
Special guest.
Bear cannot play these games. He is too young.
Oh.
He's allowed to be in the room, but he's too young to play this game.
That's the reason he didn't play it?
Yeah, he's too young.
Because he's okay.
And it's hard for him to click the buttons with his little paws.
I really thought the reason would be.
With his, and I'm speaking scientifically here, whittle pawsies.
His whittle pawsies, yeah.
So, before I really get into the weeds here,
where are we now?
I don't know. Oh, this is the lost leading the lost. If you wanted any kind of cohesive guidance, you came to the wrong show. So, really quickly, just in case people for some reason don't know who you are, if they know who I am, they probably know who both of you are. But would you guys care to introduce yourselves quickly?
Andrew, would you like to go first? And then I'll...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, sure. Well, I'm Andrew. I am Addison's friend.
You sure are, bud.
Your turn.
Have we ever worked on a project together?
Oh! Yeah, we've worked on a few collabs. We've been on Aurora Borealis together. I wrote the theme song for a different podcast that you used to host.
Wow.
Way back in the day.
Back in a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Sure did. And sure did. Do.
And that's kind of it. I'm not super famous like you two, so there.
Super is a very strong word.
I wouldn't consider myself super famous.
I have about 400 Twitter followers.
Boy, I'm trying.
I know. I know.
Alex actually doesn't have a Twitter. If you see a Twitter claiming to be Alex, it's not true.
If you see me on Twitter, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. That was an optical illusion.
Oh, goodness.
So, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. Please.
No, you're fine. I have nothing to say to these people.
Alex!
I'm kidding. I'm Alex Flanagan. You can, in fact, find me on Twitter, but you can also find me as the keeper for A Horror Borealis, the actual play Monster of the Week podcast on the One Shot Network, joined by both of my cohorts here, as well as Tim Werner, who is, for whatever reason, not with us this evening. I do think that he would add a delightfully chaotic energy, and I hope you plan to have him on in the future, but that's just me.
Oh, I will have Tim
that's
on
just
this
me
show.
Pulling for our good friend Tim over here. And then I also
I also
co-hosted The Cryptid Keeper with Addison for many years, which is a weird thing
for
to say.
About 150 episodes.
Yeah, a long time. Wait, we can swear here, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
A long-ass time.
A long ding-dang time. I am not swearing yet, and I don't know why. Let me just try to clear the rust off of the old swear machine. Fuck, yeah. Shit, balls. Okay, cool, we're here.
Feels fuck like shit, balls. Here already.
Kazoo! There you go.
I'm truly like the Tin Man oil can, and then you pour the oil can on me, except the oil is red wine that I'm drinking while the sun is still up, and the instead of being able to move, I'm able to swear again. So before we get into the game I've chosen for us to cover today, I would love to just ask if you guys have any history with, like, what's your gamer history in general? What's your games? How much of a real gamer TM are you? Also, because the show itself is about romance in video games, particularly, whether that be dating sims that focus entirely on the romance storyline, or games where romance is simply incidental or somewhere in between, what's your guys' background with that?
You're asking for my gaming history and my romantic history?
No, your romantic game history.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what's your favorite game and how many guys you fuck?
Yeah, that's it. That's the question.
No, she was actually, she just clarified, she was asking how many guys we fucked in a game.
I did not say guys.
That's fair.
I would appreciate very much you to not limit. Yes, yeah, yes, thank you. To yes. not limit the gender options. I have an extensive history, so I just like to know where everyone's coming from.
Yeah, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I actually don't think I've played a romance game that I haven't also played with Addison. I think any dating sim that I have played has been, if not in your presence, then directly related to having been in your presence about said game. I do like dating sims. I think they're very fun. I enjoy games with an element of intimacy to them. I actually, if you don't mind me taking it a little bit in an interpretive direction, I think that I am qualified maybe to speak on the context of like romance in tabletop games. I am a hashtag real gamer in the context of you being a tabletop game like player and designer, and intimacy is a really fascinating subject in tabletop, because there's kind of this interesting thing where, like, in a dating sim, you have this degree of removal, right? Like, there's a screen mm-hmm. there, and you're playing a character, which to sometimes you are, like, projecting yourself into, sometimes you are building a character that looks like you, sometimes it's a face claim that looks nothing like you, but there is always, like, this screen between you, right? Whereas, like, if you're playing mm-hmm. a tabletop game, you are actively embodying your own character, and to explore that space of intimacy with someone else who is embodying a character is like a very interesting thing. So a little bit different than a dating sim, like a computer game, but nonetheless a fascinating area of conversation.
Also, not to like call out anybody here, but I know for a fact that both of you have played Stardew Valley, so do not pretend to me you have never played romantic video games.
That's fair.
No, I've played Stardew Valley. I've played, am I allowed to say the name of the game we're doing? I'm sure it's on the title of the episode.
Yeah.
I've played Dream Daddy. Say the name of the- I've played multiple routes here. This actually is not even the first podcast I've appeared on to talk about Dream Daddy.
Which is, I did not know prior to asking you to be on.
Well, that's very true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then, I have, well, do you consider Doki Doki Literature Club to be a dating sim?
I am covering it on this show, so I sure do.
So then, yes, I've played Doki Doki Literature Club. And I've fantastic. Played an element of Backstage Pass.
No.
And I've played, and I think I showed you this game is fucking buck wild. Scheherazade in the Library at Pergamum or something. It's like bonkers and yonkers weird. It's the most complicated video game I've ever looked at in my entire life. And I like downloaded it once.
You showed me a little bit of it.
That's like all I could get through. There's like 30 different stats you have to balance in like 6 action slots. And it's, see, it's nuts.
That's something I do not, like, there are different types of sort of different ways that games will use their sort of romance mechanic, and I am much less fond of games that make you do a lot of, like, grinding and stat building.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, how about you?
Well, I've played Stardew Valley, and with you guys, actually, Doki Doki Literature Club, I haven't played too many actually dating sims, so I'm going to take this in a different way, if that's all right.
Please.
As opposed to my history with romance games, I want to talk about video game characters that I, Andrew, have fallen in love with.
Please tell me about that.
Yeah, so first, right off the bat, I'm going to say Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2. I fell in love with that man, that sad, lonesome cowboy.
Oh.
And he stole my heart and also a lot of tears. Oh. I also, let's see, I guess getting into Stardew Valley, I chose to my first and most successful run of the game. I married Abigail.
Abigail.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then in The Witcher, definitely I am in love with Geralt. But
who isn't?
Also Triss, I believe.
Huh? Not the bard? Not the fun.
He's not the fun. He's not
bard. For me.
He's not as fun in the game.
Well, that's just rude.
He is only for me.
He is only for Addison.
He's only for Addison.
He is only for Addison.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has saved him for Addison. Mm-hmm. no one else he has touched him.
He has prepared him for me and me alone.
Yes.
So you two are relatively uninitiated as far as dating sims go, and I think that that thrills me. I love that very much. I would like to offer Alex really quickly an opportunity to share if you have any video game characters that you crushed on in a very big way.
No, I don't really play video games all that much. So it's becoming increasingly obvious to the audience at this point that I got on this show through sheer nepotism. But yeah, I can't say that I'm much of a hashtag gamer. I am living vicariously a very ambitious romance quest, actually, through one of my video game characters right now, though. I'm a World of Warcraft player, and I do play an elf by the name of Sam Raimi, who is currently trying to find himself a boyfriend in the great wide world, wilds of Azeroth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I forgot that's
his quest.
Well, he also wants to become a postman. He wants to be a postal worker and find a hot boyfriend.
Well, who doesn't?
I mean, the noblest of callings.
Those are both incredibly noble ventures, and I wish him all the luck in the world. All the luck in Azeroth. The problem, my biggest qualm with World of Warcraft, it's a perfect game except for the people who play it, aside from my friends, and except for the fact that there are no romance options built into the game.
Right. Now, it is a game where we did actually let you get on stage and do in real time an open mic, so maybe it's a perfect game. It's impossible to say.
I did do a Type 5 of stand-up at an in-game festival in World of Warcraft. But the thing is, until the day that I can deliver a sweet kiss onto the lips of Lady Sylvanas Windrunner, the game will not be complete.
I mean, you've done it. We just didn't get a cutscene.
That's also literally Griffin McElroy did a Peacecraft about that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So maybe you should have Griffin on this show. Addison, take it from me. You should get Griffin McElroy on this show. It'll boost your numbers.
That's some insider advice right there. Just try and get
somebody
Griffin
who's been in podcasting for a while. Get Griffin McElroy. God. You'll do numbers.
If I could get esteemed comedy voice that I genuinely enjoy, Griffin McElroy, onto my show, I would be very happy.
Listen, you are depression really like podcasting? You must go see this phenomenal clown. His name is Griffin McElroy.
Oh, God. But doctor. So I would like to, without further ado, get into the game that we all are talking about today. I would like to break this into sort of a couple's different sections. I'd like to, for people who plan to play the game but haven't played it yet, I'd like to have sort of a spoiler-free discussion, then dig into more spoiler territory, and then we'll do sort of a personal taste breakdown at the end here, like in terms of the routes that we hit and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I'm into it.
So, all right. So, for those who don't know about the game that took the internet by storm briefly and continues to sort of experience a resurgence every so often, Dream Daddy is a dad-for-dad dating sim wherein you play a single father who has moved to a quaint town called Maple Bay with your teenage daughter, Amanda. And there, you discover that the town is fortuitously enough, overrun with dreamy single dads.
And not even just, can we talk about this? Not even just the town. Your cul-de-sac specifically.
Oh, specifically your cul-de-sac. That's true.
It's like your neighborhood.
Is overrun with dreamy single dads, with one notable exception to the singleness, not the dreaminess. And basically, you go about your life as a dad, do your best by Amanda as she navigates the tricky time ending high school and getting ready for college, and, you know, get ready to open yourself up to love again after the loss of your spouse.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the essence of the game. Something I love about this game, before we even get into the story, that is missing from a lot of dating sims, is that you can do character customization in this.
Can I take a moment to say something truly wild about Dream Daddy?
Yeah, please.
Is that, like, it's actually, and this is gonna sound completely bonkers, it's one of the first video games I've ever played where I was able to make a character that looked exactly like me in character creation. I don't know if you've seen, the first time I played it, I, like, tweeted out a picture of my Dream Daddy avatar, and it was, like, nuts. Like, next to a picture of me. I don't think I still have it, but it was wild. It's, like, a really good character customization engine.
It's really good, and I also, like, talking about, like, diversity and inclusiveness in games, there also is, like, a direct option in character customization to create characters that a character that wears a binder.
Yeah.
That's, like, in the body type selection, which also, first of all, you get a lot of options in terms of body type, which is really nice. And you, like, you get sort of a variety, and then you get the option of binder or no binder. And I think that's really nice.
My favorite Dream Daddy custom character that I've ever seen, somebody just made Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Well, you can. His hair.
It's, you can
hair
just make Goku. Option.
It's yep. A perfect character customization engine because you can make Alex Flanagan in it, or you can make Goku. And what
right,
else do you need?
Of course.
It's not common to have such an in-depth character customization mechanic in a dating sim. And I was very happy to have that. It's a really fun aspect to kind of play with. Something I like to do is sort of build the character aesthetic based on which dad I'm trying to romance.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, I think here's the deal. I'm just going to take a second to put a really hot take in here. If mm-hmm. you were going to have art for a player character, then you should have diversity in your options. If you're just straight up not going to have art for a player character, if it's just going to be, like, you facing the computer and looking at some other folks, then, like, sure, mm-hmm. I think a low budget is a justification for that. But if you're going mm-hmm. to have art for a player character, then you need to have the option to have that character look like more than just a skinny white person.
No, definitely, I agree.
I agree with that. I have played some games that I really enjoyed the story of, but that's like, it does kind of take you out of it a little mm-hmm. bit because there is default player character art. And I also understand why you would have default player character art if you want to have things like, for example, like, some games will want to have, like, when your character kisses a love interest, they'll want to have, like, a cut to, like, art of them kissing. And if you have character customization, that's going to be a much more difficult thing to do.
Yeah, but I think that, like, totally the appeal of playing a dating sim is not to wingman for somebody else, right?
Exactly.
That's not the point. That's not why you're doing it.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I just also, I fully acknowledge that I just also can acknowledge that I've enjoyed a few games that, despite it taking me out of it a little bit, I still enjoy the story.
Oh,
and the
totally. I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying them. I mean, but I think that, like, just as far as ideologically, like, there's room for growth in any industry. I think that's an important point to notice.
Oh, I agree. And one of my favorite, I'm probably going to sing their praises a lot on this show, unless they do something really wildly out of pocket. But I'm a very big fan of, there's an indie developer called Lunaris, I think it's Lunaris Games, that have made, I guess I would say 1 3/4 games, because this mm-hmm. is the one that's currently out, is releasing episodically, but they put out a game called When the Night Comes, which is sort of a horror fantasy romance, and then they have a game out now that's releasing episodically called Errant Kingdom, which is more straight high fantasy, mm-hmm. And those are both, like, they very specifically wanted to make it as you can imagine yourself in this as possible, so you do not ever, the player character has no art, you choose your pronouns, you choose, like, you choose your name, you choose your pronouns, and there is no character art, so you just can imagine whatever you want to. There's character art of the characters, not the player character, you get mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I have found that to be the most like one of the most immersive models. Like I really, those are probably some of my favorites, and I'll do episodes on those, but that's not why we're here, but you get it.
Yeah, we're here to talk about Dream Daddy.
Here to talk about Dream Daddy. So in this town, you find a lovely wide variety of love interests suiting to all kinds of different tastes, whatever flavor daddy, whatever flavor of daddy you would like.
I feel like there's a better way to say it.
A tasting platter of fathers, a tasting plate.
A charcuterie of boys.
I had several sips of wine and now I'm a different person. Also, my glasses are fogging up and I can't tell if that's because it's just really hot in my closet or because of how sexy these dads are.
It's because of how hot it is in Maple Bay.
And Maple Bay, you better believe, is a very hot town. So let's just rapid fire go through each of the love interests.
Let's talk about some sexy dads.
And again, let's try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible. So we'll just kind of do a quick rapid-fire pros and cons based on like the surface level information that you get when you start the game. And then we'll get into spoilers. So you can tell my biases because of the first dad that comes to mind for me, which is Damien.
Yeah, of course.
Damien is a goth dad. He dresses like a Victorian vampire.
I adore Damien. But my favorite things about Damien are all spoilers. So I will refrain from singing Damien's praises at the moment. He is probably my favorite, though, of, like, the routes that I've completed all the way through. I love them all.
High points of Damien, just based on surface level first impressions. Goth.
Yeah, aesthetic, very nice. He has a letter writing minigame.
Victorian.
And that rules.
He does have a letter writing minigame.
Letter writing minigame, amazing.
Long, beautiful, flowing hair.
Yeah.
Look, you can just say he looks like a vampire. And that's okay.
He does look like a vampire. And that is... That's kind of my jam in a very big way. Anne Rice ruined me in my young adolescence. I was reading her books when my mom didn't understand quite how filthy they were, and I was changed forever. Thank you so much.
Are you thanking your mom? Or are you thanking Anne Rice? Are you thanking me?
I'm thinking... I don't know, actually. I guess just more thank you for coming with me on this journey.
Of course.
No, yeah, he looks like a vampire, which makes him my favorite inherently. But he's also like sweet and very kind of shy, and I like that. It's like you want to bring him out of his shell.
Yeah, he's
great. Find that appealing. You have Matt.
Yeah,
who's another favorite of mine. Hipster coffee shop dad.
Coffee shop dad.
Matt is like a beautiful hipster man with like tattoo sleeves and cool glasses, and he runs a little coffee shop where all the drinks and food items are named after musicians
and
bands.
Beautiful, and he's a total dork.
Oh my god, yeah, he's so cute. He loves dad jokes, and he's so handsome, and he loves music. Some of the items you can order when you go to his coffee shop are an iced Tegan and Sarah. You can order a chai Antwoord, and a lot of just, he loves a pun, and I love that about him. Mm-hmm. Puns, sexy. Agree? Disagree?
Agree.
And this is the part where I start to get away from my favorites a little bit and start to forget people's names. But, oh my god. I should have pulled up the game information. Joseph, who I have very mixed feelings about.
Here's the thing. I actually have no love in my heart for Joseph. I have not gone down the Joseph route. I got, past my first interaction and I was like, I don't want to spend time on this game that I paid money for hanging out with you.
Hanging out with a conservative barbecue dad.
Yeah, his wife's hot.
We'll stay. Put a pin in that. I want to talk about Mary.
We have to talk about Mary.
We have to talk about Mary.
Put a pin in that. Okay. Ooh, Mary.
He has a hot wife, and I respect that he just wants to be on island time. Like, I vibe with that.
That's the thing. It's wild to me that the one character that you hate is the only character with built into his character. I guess this is a light spoiler, but not really. He loves Jimmy Buffett.
Listen, I have room in my heart to believe that Brian also loves Jimmy Buffett.
Speaking of Brian, Brian is good. Brian is just like, he's the token bear.
Brian.
First of all, Brian is a bear, which we love. He's like big and cuddly, and he's got his big bushy beard.
He's hot and has a great dog.
Yes. He has a cute little corgi. He's very, very proud of his daughter to an obnoxious degree, but like, that's nice. I'm happy for him.
It is obnoxious. But once you get down, then there's like this kind of like bantery thing going on. And it's like, okay, I like this.
Yeah. He starts off, he's sort of the archetype of like the kind of like it's not,
he's like the rival. Enemies. Yeah.
It's not an enemies to lovers archetype, but it's like a rivals to lovers kind of archetype. Which I do have a soft spot for.
It's like, it's real playful.
Yeah, it's very fun.
There's Robert, aka Knife Dad, aka
Knife Dad.
Robert
is ruggedly handsome, leather jacket, mysterious scars, tattoo on his hand.
Damaged.
Ooh, that noise just came out of me. I like Robert.
We know.
I can fix him.
No, God. He doesn't want you to.
I know, and that's what makes him so hot. This is also, this podcast could also be called Why Addison Needs a Therapist.
Oof.
But, no, it's fine. I do like Robert. We'll get into the specifics of Robert's route, which is one of the trickiest routes in the game, in my opinion. Who am I forgetting? Oh my God, Hugo.
Hugo.
Hot teacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get to do a date at the aquarium. It's nice. Anyway, Hugo's great.
Oh, I didn't know that. Hugo's great. Hugo is a... like a hot teacher archetype, like sexy professor archetype. He's your daughter's teacher. He's like real handsome, glasses, looks very like, just like kind of, the word I would use is dashing or dapper.
Yeah, he is very dapper. He's got kind of like the bumbling professor thing going on a little bit where he's like,
it's really nice. Yeah,
it's sweet.
I do really like that. Oh my God. And then I forgot about the last guy because I have not done any of his route yet. I forgot about Craig.
Oh my God, you haven't done any of Craig's route?
I haven't done any of Craig's route.
Craig is a darling.
Craig is your former college roommate, or was he just a college friend?
He was your college roommate, I think.
Yeah, he was former college roommate, kind of a bro, but like a sweet bro, like a bro with a heart of gold.
Uh-huh.
Aggressively like
bro-y, he has adorable children. They're so freaking cute.
He's a baseball dad.
Mm-hmm.
To his daughters, right?
Yes.
It's very sweet. And I've met the character because, like, you meet all the characters in sort of the initial gameplay. That's a dating sim trope. Like, that's like, part of the construction of the genre. When you go through, like, the initial part of the game, there's a section where nothing can really move forward. You're just meeting every character and trying to decide which one you want to pursue the route for. And then the actual dating mechanic itself in this one, I talked about how I don't really like stat builder games, and that's why I like this one. It's not a stat builder. You just sort of meet all the characters, and then you just sort of
it's very straightforward. And you don't even have to stick to it. You can go on as many, like, you can drag it out as long as you want, basically. Because basically you end game once you do 3 dates with any one character. And it doesn't matter what order you do them in or how close together you do them. And the game also does this great thing where it will warn you. Like, before you go on your final date, it will tell you, like, hey, warning, if you do this, like, you're going into the end game and that's going to be, like, the final route that you choose. Do you still want to do this? If not, like,
exactly.
Take time to hang out with some other folks.
Third dates are serious. Once you do third date, that's past point of no return. You can't really date anybody else at that point. The game does not allow beyond early dating when it's casual. There's not really a polyamorous option.
Yeah.
Which some games do have. But, you know, you can't have everything in one game. It can't be all things to all people, I guess. It's just there are only so many daddies to go around.
Well, I get it. You're trying to provide, like, some stability and consistency. Also, your daughter is working really hard to get you to settle down with somebody, so.
Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of which, before we get into spoilery territory, I do want to talk about your daughter, Amanda. Amanda is the heart and soul of the game. She is
really
wonderful.
It's nice.
As a character.
Like, for as much as Dream Daddy is built on the dream element of it, it is also leans very hard into the daddy. It's very much a game about fatherhood. It's, like, interesting.
Yeah.
In that way.
And, like, looking out for your daughter and the bond between you two, and there's a storyline where you have to sort of, you know, like, connect with her and
it's a surprisingly heartfelt game. Yeah.
It's very sweet. As funny and, like, silly and sexy as it is, it's a very sweet game.
It's very earnest. And there's some genuine moments that, like, hit me as, like, oh, you know, trying to strike this balance of, like, giving your teenage daughter, like, the freedom and the space that she's asking you for versus, like, when to know that that's just sort of an act and she really needs you to, like, push past that a little bit. And, like, it's really nice. It's interesting, like, how much nuance is put into that. Like, by the end of any route that I took, I found myself definitely prioritizing my relationship with Amanda over, like, whoever I was actively trying to date.
And it's really wild to have a game that forces you to walk that line and be mm-hmm. like, okay, yes, you're trying to have a love life, but remember you have a daughter.
Yeah, it's interesting.
She will be concerned if you stay out all night. She will be worried if you disappear. She wants to talk to you about what's going on. She's having problems at school. Like, you want to, mm-hmm. yeah, engage with her. And I really appreciate her presence in the game. It gives me, like... I tend to prefer dating sims where I can do a little bit more of a self-insert kind of vibe because mm-hmm. that's part of the fun of the fantasy and all that. But I really do. I feel very attached to the characters in Dream Daddy because they're very well written and they're very, even though they're silly and they're funny, they're very emotionally grounded. Mm-hmm. So, beep, beep, beep. Uh-oh, that's the spoiler alarm. We're moving into spoiler territory.
Spoiler waters ahoy!
So now that we've been pulled into the spoiler vortex, we can talk freely about any aspect of the game that we want. Listeners, be warned, if you are planning to play the game and haven't yet and want to go in without knowing anything about the gameplay or about stories and endings and stuff, then you might want to stop here or skip ahead to later when we're not talking so many specifics. But for now, if you want to join us on this little journey, then please do.
Let's go, nerds!
Let's go, nerds.
Let's get into it, nerds.
Really, before I ask you guys even any questions or open the floor, I want to really quickly talk about, because Alex opened the Pandora's box. Alex opened my can of worms. She said that Mary is hot.
Mary is
and
hot.
She's right.
Okay, Mary's hot.
Joseph, who is the only married love interest in the game, is married to Mary. Mary looks to me, I don't know what they were trying to make her look like, if they wanted her to look kind of like a nun or something, because she wears like the black and like the cross necklace, but to me she just looks like a hot goth mom, and I am very attracted to Mary.
I'm gonna say this, I think they knew exactly what they were doing.
Okay, that's fair. I understand that it would maybe defeat the purpose of the game a little bit, but I wish Mary was a romance option.
I know. I really do feel like they were leaving their door open for a sequel with Mary.
I want to romance Mary. I think she is incredibly sexy. I like how she calls me Sailor. When you talk to her at the mm-hmm. bar in the game, she's like, "Hey, Sailor, do you want to buy me a drink?" And I'm like, "I do. I do want
I
to buy
very
you a drink.
Much want to buy you
yes,
a drink.
Yes, Mary. Yes, I will buy you all the drinks."
Also, if you play Damien's Root, you learn that Mary works at the dog rescue.
Can we talk about Aww. Damien's Root, please? Can we talk about Damien's Root? I love Damien with my whole entire heart, and I want to talk about Damien's Root. Damien is...
Alex, talk about Damien's
Root. Phenomenal. So Damien is my favorite romance route in the game. And I haven't finished all of them to completion, but of the ones that I've done, Damien is far and away my favorite, because he is a lot of things that I didn't expect him to be, which is sort of like what his entire route is actually about. And... Mm-hmm. I don't want to just assume that, like, anybody who is listening to this video game podcast has necessarily been familiar with my portfolio of work, because they're primarily here for you and you have a bigger audience than I do, and that's all well and good. I don't hate it. But what I'm gonna say is that, like, as somebody who has sort of been doing a lot of very intentional and purposeful personal work on, like, trying to figure out what my relationship is to the public identity that I've had to craft in order to have a successful, like, career in any sort of artistic work, Damien's Root hit me unexpectedly hard, because he is this beautiful, like, trans goth vampire man, and that rules. That's all very good. But what his end game ends up being
so much.
But what his end game ends up being about, actually, is this really beautiful, like, this final date that you go on where you end up, like, having to help him catch an escaped rescue dog. And it's him, like, in his nerdy tech support polo with, like, his big glasses and his hair pulled up in a ponytail, like, no makeup, looks like just a very normal dude. And he has this, like, very heartfelt moment with you about, like, being concerned that he thought that you wouldn't like him anymore if you found out that he wasn't, like, the mysterious, alluring, complicated, interesting, like, goth persona that he puts on. Because, like, that's just mm-hmm. an aspect of him. And, like, and while it is truthful to him and it is authentic and it is something he genuinely enjoys, like, that's not a sustainable way to live 24/7. And he, like, is a real person who lives in the modern world, like, with current interests. And I thought that was such a cool and smart and beautiful story. And just, like, that speech that he gives at the end about being, like, you know, anybody who is interested enough in, like, my outward persona to want to get to know me better than that is probably going to find something that doesn't jive at all with, like, the kind of person who's interested in getting to know a goth vampire. And, like, just trying to grapple with that and figure out, like, who he is in relation to himself. And that was really, really nice. I thought that was gorgeous. And it was just like, mm-hmm. it was a scene that I didn't expect to get when I started down the road of like this gothic romance. And it hit me really hard.
Something else I think is very sweet about Damien that ties into that is when you attempting to appeal to his interests, take him to a horror film, yes. and he is very, very frightened of
He's so scared. He doesn't like
He's
it.
He's so scared. You ask him his favorite horror movie and he says it's Halloween Town. I love him.
But he's so concerned that like that's what you expect him to want to do and to be. That he's like, yeah, a horror movie is great. Let's go do it. I think it's nice. I love Damien. And he rescues huge dogs. So, like, come on.
He does. Dogs of all sizes,
dogs
I think.
Dogs of all sizes, but... I know. But you get to, like, you explicitly your, like, final endgame date is you get to go track down this huge dog that's gotten out.
And right, Duchess. And while you're doing that, that's when it becomes very clear that Mary is much more nuanced of a character. Like, yes, she's angry and she drinks a lot because her husband is terrible and cheats on her. But... she also loves animals and has like a soft heart under her like grouchy exterior. And Mary is this is gonna sound really dorky, like me explaining like anime archetypes, but you all know what a tsundere is, right?
Yeah.
It's the I mean, I don't like you or anything, stupid. Like it's that. That's Mary to me, and I'm like, I wanna date her, I wanna crack the exterior and see the ooey gooey marshmallow inside. Mary, be my wife. And I think it's a little bit mean of me, of them. Like, I become that reaction gif from Uncut Gems. That's, why would you show this to me if I can't have it?
Mary also gets some really cool character depth and nuance in Robert's Root.
See, I need to play Robert's Root again and do a better job at it. Every time
you
I play Robert's
the good
Root,
end.
I make a mistake.
I didn't realize you hadn't gotten the good end.
When I play Robert's Root, I get the bad end because I make a mistake. And that mistake is that I am too horny and I sleep with Robert.
That would do
when
it.
When we first meet at the bar.
Yeah, no, you can't
And
do
I've
that.
Since learned that you're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that. And also
because it allows Robert to put up an emotional wall between you. I need to play it and do it correctly.
It's really cool. It's kind of like you can't go down Robert's Root trying to go down Robert's Root. The reason I ended up doing it and being able to actually do it successfully was because, and I didn't realize it was like one of the quote unquote harder ones. It's because I didn't set out meaning to do it. I like was starting with somebody else, I think Hugo maybe. And like by the time I had sort of like tried to dabble in a few different dates with other people, I actually ended up getting to one of the like organic dates that can spring up with Robert. And it was totally unexpected. It was like you're doing dinner with someone else and Robert is also there. Like the three of you end up hanging out and it, like, anyway, it's a really cool scene that gives you a lot more insight. But it's a really interesting route, sort of Robert's whole situation. But you do get some more, like, Mary backstory. And it's really fascinating because, like, when you first meet Mary, it sort of seems like this whole, like, oh, what's their deal? Like, are they having a thing? Like, they're clearly having an affair and I should probably tell Joseph about this. But what's actually going on is, like, Mary is very, very protective of Robert, and it's a really cool dynamic that they have, where, like, at a certain point down Robert's route, Mary, like, pulls you aside, and she's like, hey, you need to be nice to him. And it's like, aww.
That's sweet! I have not played... I tend to. When I play a dating sim, I tend to do every single route just because I want to see all the possible story permutations. I have been a little bit worse with Dream Daddy about it. And I think solely just because I kind of forgot about the game for a while. I played it like really intensely for a little while, got a couple bad ends and got frustrated and then sort of disappeared for a bit. The only really successful romance I've had in Dream Daddy is Damien. The first time I played through Damien, I got S tier every step of the way. Good ending, best ending. We did our graveyard picnic. It was so good.
I love that for you.
Thank you. But no, I am very attached to Mary. I think she deserves a lot better than Joseph. I would like to sweep her off her feet and take her away from him and give her a better life.
Now, also something
away
something
from him and their creepy children.
I love their creepy, weird kids. Something interesting about
I hate
Robert.
Their children.
I don't remember. I genuinely don't remember if I got the best ending or just a good ending. But the ending I got with Robert was really fascinating, actually. It was pretty much like the best case scenario. And it was really nice. It was really well done. Is that, like, both of us ameliorated with our children, our respective children, and, like, the last thing that we did was sort of, like, helping Robert de-estrange himself from his very cool daughter. And, like, the flash forward we got at the end was, like, they were on much better terms and, like, actively working to repair their relationship in a healthy way. And, like, Robert was clearly working on himself in some ways that he needed. And it was kind of this, like, the two of us are leaving that door open, but it's not necessarily... I don't know if there is an option you can get with Robert where you're, like, you know, we're married and together now. I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know. Like, that's something very interesting about this game to me, too, actually, is that not all of the good ends mean you're just implicitly together. Mm-hmm.
It was really nice. It was actually, like, a very, like, healthily written and really enjoyable little, like, time skip. It was very good and hopeful and like, done in a way that made it feel very meaningful. Because it would have felt disingenuous at that point just to be like, and now we're together.
Like, as far as I can tell, there is no, you can't get a good ending with Joseph.
No.
For example. You just get, he cheats on his wife with you and then decides to go back to his wife. I hate Joseph. He broke my heart. Like, I was genuinely, I got my feelings hurt by that
route. Joseph straight up sucks.
Yeah.
He hurt my feelings.
Like I said, I did not go down that road with Joseph. I got to, like, his crummy bake sale and I was like, this sucks, Joseph.
Oh, I also played through, the routes that I've played through to completion are... Robert, which I keep getting the bad end because I can't stop myself from having sex with Robert.
You
apparently.
Literally click a different button, Addison. It's not like you
I
have
know.
To look him in the
look,
eyes.
Look, sometimes it's just really difficult.
I the problem is, too, that there was like a year between the last time I played this game and then me replaying it today. So I straight up forgot you that you
forgot.
Have to not sleep with Robert.
Yeah.
I forgot that you can't have a one-night stand with Robert when you first meet him if you want him to consider you, like, a date, like, an emotional, like, connection option later. So I just was, he was, I just was his booty call for the duration of the game.
Yeah, that's, I mean, listen, that's not a bad thing.
No, literally, the game straight up says, it's like, he treats me like crap, but the sex is amazing.
Well, there it is.
And right, I'm like, hey. Listen, we've all been there. Straight up. Anyway, I digress. I played through his ending. I played through Damien's, got the best ending. Played through Joseph's a couple times to try to get a good ending, and it didn't happen. And then I played through Matt's, and I haven't gotten the good ending for Matt yet because I am really bad at the mini game at the concert.
Oh, the concert mini game? Yeah.
Where you have to dodge teenagers and get to
That's
the stage.
That's funny. I have completed Damien's, Robert's, Brian's. Did I finish anybody else's? I don't think I finished Hugo's. I did Damien, Robert, and Brian for sure.
Andrew, I'm going to shine my detective interrogator light into your face and ask, which routes have you done?
I have not completed any of them.
That is okay. Who would you like to?
Hugo has always seemed very interesting. Like an interesting gentleman.
He is an interesting
he does
gentleman.
Seem like an interesting gentleman.
There's a fun Cask of Amontillado joke if you go down Hugo's route, actually.
You also get that one on Damien's
Yeah,
route.
But it's fun. Because it's Damien's kid is a monster and I love him.
Damien's kid is such a little shit. Lucien is such an
Lucien's
asshole.
Lucien's a terrible boy and I would die for him. Listen, as someone who has also made ill-advised Cask of Amontillado jokes at the expense of a friend, I think that I relate to Lucien.
Who was that?
Who would that be?
Whoops?
Who might
who
that
be?
Friend be?
I don't know,
be?
Addison, the first time or the second time?
I don't know, Alex, which one?
The answer doesn't change.
Nope, who was it, Alex? You want to tell the people?
No, you could tell them.
Alex used to work at a specialty beer and wine store, and I would hang out while she was at work, one, because I wanted to hang out with my friend, and two, because there were wine tastings sometimes. Mm-hmm. And a couple different times, Alex shut me in the wine closet and said, goodbye, Fortunato, as I screamed. And yes, it was perhaps all in jest, perhaps just a bit of fun, a joke between pals, but we'll never
perhaps
know,
indeed.
Will we?
Perhaps it wasn't.
So, fun fact, I did find confirmation that it's real. There is a secret ending you can get. You have to download, like, a missing game file that has been deleted from the game.
That's some doki doki shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is a horror ending you can get for Joseph.
A horror ending for Joseph? What is it?
It's called Escape from Margarita Zone, or better known as the Cult Ending. It's a non-canon ending in Joseph's third date. Basically, here's what the creators said about it. They said, hey, we originally put this into the game because we're horror fanatics, but cut it before we released for obvious reasons. Then people found an old version of it buried deep within the game files anyway. We acknowledge this ending is conceptually messy, and if the existence of it sullies your experience with the rest of the game, no, it is totally non-canonical. We made it intentionally impossible to get unless you're actively seeking it out so nobody could stumble onto it by accident. So without further ado, here's the cult ending. I tried really hard to get it today, and I couldn't. And then I found out that I think you have to download, like, the missing file in order to get to it. But essentially, when you play Joseph's Root, like, regular style, like, if you're just a regular like a regular dad playing Joseph's Root correctly, then your final date with him, he takes you out on his boat, you drink wine together, you sleep together, and then you wake up together, and then, like, go back to shore, and then he breaks your fucking heart by going back to his wife after he told you he was leaving his wife. It's fine. I got my feelings hurt by a dating sim. But if you play, apparently, supposedly, if you play the cult ending, you have to customize your character a very specific way and then name yourself Jimmy Buffett.
Oh my God.
And then if you do that, after you sleep with Joseph on your third date, you will wake up. Oh, excuse me. You will wake up in a dungeon, chained to the wall. And Joseph will appear to you and tell you that it's not a dream. And he will basically tell you, I'm just going to read some of the dialogue here. He says that he basically reveals that he runs some kind of cult. And he says, ever wonder where all the wives and husbands in town went? Why everyone's an eligible single father?
What?
Nothing's a coincidence, idiot.
Ah!
No town in America has such a concentration of eligible, willing dads. Do you want to know God. Why? Because of me. Because of my work. Because of my loyalty. Maple Bay is a beacon of unfathomable power, but it requires sacrifice. It needs to feed on those deep, unquenchable pangs of anguish. And all to get these very good friends of ours here in my town, my father's tower and his father before him, hurting for human touch, praying for the salvation of kindness. Out there in the dark of the sea lies something that has been waiting to return for 100 million years.
Wow.
It has showed the path to Jonah, my ancient ancestor, and it has shown the path to me, and I will fuck each dad whose life I destroyed until the shame and stink of their failures has returned to the eternal king of life.
Oh, wow.
That escalated so quickly.
And then apparently Mary frees you, and you run back home and find Amanda.
Okay.
And then you get kidnapped again.
Okay, so it's not done.
You grab a knife and go for Joseph. You stab Joseph. Mary stabs Joseph.
Still good.
And then you wake up in your bedroom, and Amanda says that the yacht sank, and rescue teams pulled them from the water, and that you've been in a coma the whole time. Huh. And then it says, when the dad, Sona, asks Amanda where Joseph was, she says, they found something in the yacht records, documents that showed he was embezzling funds from the church. No one has seen him since.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And then you meet a detective.
Do you get to romance
like
the detective?
Like a detective or?
Oh, yes, yes, you do! Sorry.
Yes!
It says, before leaving, the detective tells the dad, Sona, that his own wife vanished, hinting the cult killed her, and he too is a single father. He tells the dad, Sona, if he has free time, they could meet up again, hinting at a future relationship.
God.
Yes, yes,
that's
yes,
powerful.
Yes.
Holy crap.
That is wild.
Yeah, this is the only story that depicts a villain in the game. It says, in the canon, this is trivia, in the canon gaming, Robert states that he dislikes and distrusts Joseph, hinting that Joseph was a darker character than he let on. Also, in Robert's second date in the woods, the dad Sona and Robert will hear an unnatural guttural howl. Both Robert and dad Sona look around and from a far off distance spot something that looks human, but it's dragging something. In the cult ending, Joseph mentions that Robert will have a final visit from the Dover ghost, meaning Joseph was the Dover ghost Robert was talking about all along.
That's phenomenal. The whole like weird little Dover ghost subplot in Robert's Root is really fun. But that's amazing.
Wow.
So, yeah, non-canon ending. I tried to get it. You can't get it, I think, without jumping through some extra download hoops. But I really did try. You have to basically customize a character to look kind of like Jimmy Buffett and then name him Jimmy Buffett.
That's phenomenal to me.
That is amazing, yes.
And that's how you unlock the level. or how you unlock that ending. I have not yet unlocked that ending. I'm going to do everything in my power to experience that ending for myself. It is my white whale. Like, call me Ishmael, the dream daddy.
All right, you're Ishmael, the dream daddy.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
But yeah, that was something I was saving that surprise for later. But I did some research on the dark ending that you can get. Because Joseph is already one of the darkest characters in the game. Because again, he just lies to you and says he's leaving his wife and then sleeps with you and then is like, I'm going back to my wife. And I'm like, how dare I hate you. I hate you, Joseph. I fucking hate you.
Yeah, fuck you, Joseph.
Fuck you, Joseph, and your creepy kids. Apparently there did used to be a bug in the game where the kids would show up in the background of scenes where they weren't supposed to be, which is hilarious.
Oh, that's incredible.
So creepy. Creepy kids.
Because his twins are so creepy.
Creepy, creepy
also,
kids.
His son's name is Christian and his last name is Christensen. So mm-hmm. that son's name is Christian Christensen and I hate it.
Yes.
But anyway.
I mean, they're all named like Chrissy or Chris or Christian or whatever.
Yeah, they are. Mary should be romanceable and she deserves better than Joseph. That was basically the end of that point. I wanted to ask you guys both, out of all of the love interest characters, I know your favorite, Alex, but...
I have strong feelings.
I wanted to ask you all your favorite and your least favorite. And also, and I know that that's probably just going to be Joseph, but I still wanted to ask it.
I mean, yeah, my least favorite is definitely
Joseph.
Yeah,
no
Joseph.
Time for Joseph in my life.
No,
now, who's your favorite?
None. It's either Hugo or Brian.
Thank you. You must select a daddy.
They're both great choices. Mine is probably, I mean, it's Damien. But if it weren't Damien, I do think that just like, energetically, the character I would most enjoy to hang out with IRL is probably Craig. I actually really love the interactions with him. He's very cute and he's very fun. And I think that we could play some enjoyable backyard volleyball together. I think it'd be great.
Oh, I think that's so nice. This has been like a shockingly chaste conversation about this game, and I don't know. They all do. They're all dads.
Like, what do you want us to say?
I don't have anything I want from you except your presence and your thoughts.
Oh. I'm horny for a JPEG. Is that what you want?
Yes. No. I would like to feel less alone.
You
want to
be normalized?
Normalize me wanting to fuck these cartoons. But truly, I think that it's very lovely. I like Craig. I need to play through his route. I appreciate his wholesome jock energy.
It is kind of a drag really to have to like sign on to a dating sim video game and then play a mini game where you like run on a treadmill. That sucks.
That's the thing, right?
But Craig is great.
I will say that if there's one thing I don't love about Dream Daddy, it's that some of the mini games are very frustrating.
Yeah, some of them are. The letter writing mini game is my favorite by far.
The letter writing minigame is really nice. Also, when you fix the gargoyle, that's like pretty easy to figure out. But there's one with Joseph where you fix the radio, and that one made me really, really irritated. But hey, that's love, right?
That is love.
Hey, that's love, baby.
Sometimes love that's is fixing love, a real frustrating radio.
Sometimes it's fixing a radio, sometimes it's writing a letter, and sometimes it's going to the margarita zone and then getting your heart broken into a million pieces.
Sometimes it's LARPing as Jimmy Buffett escaping from a cult.
That's just a Saturday night. But
sometimes it's bonding over the shared murder of a loved one.
Oh, true. Also,
I said that like there was more. There isn't.
No, I liked it. This is a very silly question, maybe, but if you had to pick, like, the dating sim archetype that you would occupy as a person if you were a love interest in, say, a Dream Daddy type game, say your dad Sona was one of the love interests in this game, mm-hmm. What role would you play in this little cul-de-sac of sexy single dads?
Oh, God. I mean, just, like, in terms of sheer trope energy, I am a glasses-wearing asshole. Like, that's the... I don't know that any of them really fit that in Dream Daddy specifically, though.
They really don't, actually. I was missing my glasses-wearing asshole archetype. Because I am disgusting and I hate myself. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
I know. But that's sort of where I would linger. I think that probably I would take the place... If I were to step in for one of the dream daddies in question, eject them from the game, and instead you get to date my cool dad, Sona, I guess it would probably be Matt, like the music educated barista who loves puns and is like not necessarily great at picking up on your advances.
I mean, yeah, actually, that's probably me. That sounds pretty on point.
I'm not sure if there's like a name for this trope, but I feel like I would be the more aloof person who also doesn't pick up on advances. And you think that I'm probably very cold, when in fact, I am just very shy and quiet.
Aww. That's absolutely an archetype. I don't know exactly what you would call it, but that's absolutely an archetype.
There is kind of a funny thing with Brian's route, where, like, once you get to a certain point, and this was actually genuinely, like, very heartwarming to me, you get to the end, like, with his good ending, and he's... And, like, your character basically gets, like, so frustrated, has this final breakdown of, like, why do you always have to be so much better than me? Like, why are you always fighting with me? And he's like, I'm not trying to fight with you. You are just literally always picking fights. And I thought that the only way that you would talk to me is if I kept, like, engaging in whatever this stupid competition is that you were trying to have.
Brian really said, I thought fighting was your love language.
No, literally. And it's so funny because you're there, like... And Amanda is kind of like, yeah, no, Dad, you've been an asshole to this guy. And Brian's just like, I'm I don't know what you were doing. I don't know why you're like this. I just wanted to hang out with you.
That's really funny. Also, I really relate to that as somebody who has really misinterpreted interactions with people before and assumed that people hated me or didn't like me or whatever. And then I've had that reveal in real time.
Yeah.
That sort of reminds me of, it's a very flawed show that does not hold up upon rewatch, but this is a joke that I really enjoy. On 30 Rock, there's an episode where Tina Fey's character goes to her high school reunion, and she spends the whole time before she goes talking about how terrible everyone was to her in high school and how shitty all these kids were and how, like, she was this nerd that everybody hated and she didn't know why. And then it's revealed that she was, like, that they all considered her their bully because she would make, like, these snide, like, defensive nerd comments to them. And so they all were, like, traumatized by her in high school. And she wasn't disliked because she was a nerd, but because she was a bully.
Yeah.
And that really reminds me of that. For the hot 30 Rock references we've come to this podcast for.
Anyway, I was just going to say, there's, like, a little bit of that trope built into Brian's storyline.
That's cute. I like that a lot, actually. I think that's fun. I don't have to imagine myself in this game because I already am in this game.
I know.
Mary's right there.
I thought you were just going to talk about your dad sona.
Oh, that's also true. I have made several dad sonas, most recently in order to attempt to romance Robert very unsuccessfully. I made a really hot dad with a man bun who wore that fried egg shirt with the fried egg titties. Yeah. And I named him...
Jimmy Buffett 2.
I named him...
Return to Margaritaville.
I named him Hot Dad Eggberg.
I mean, that's pretty powerful. I do remember one time you and I tried to romance Robert as the Beast of Bray Road, as the literal Beast of Bray Road. And that was strong.
As a real cryptid. Uh-huh. Robert did not take our bait, though. He saw right through
us.
He
did.
He was not... In fact, I think that was me derailing the story progress with my horniness again. That is what that was. I'm really sorry. This is not... By the way, this is not the only dating sim I've played where that's a thing. Where, like, if you move too fast with the character too soon, you won't be able to get with them as an actual couple later. I didn't like this game nearly as much, but I played this Russian dating sim translated into English called Let's Not Stay Friends, about, like, you're, like, in, like, wizard school and
phenomenal.
You're, like, doing a final exam project, and your partner for the final exam project is the person you're trying to romance. That's, like, how you pick your route. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, the guy who's, like, the... I'm showing my hand here. One of my other favorite archetypes in dating sims, across the gender spectrum, they can be non-binary, woman, man, whatever, I do not care, but is, like, the flirty, like, is, like, the over-the-top gregarious flirt character. That's my favorite. I love it so much. And so I picked that guy, and then they have a chance to hook up with him in this cavern, and then, like, I was
sorry?
Like, yes, of course I will. You hook up with him in a cavern, don't worry about it. And so I hooked up with him in the cavern, and then he pulled away and got really, like avoidant, and I was like, oh, I got the bad end because I hooked up too soon, I guess. Fine. I'm like, I follow my slutty little heart, and then it takes me to the bad ending. I should have learned by now, but I haven't learned. I just can't learn.
Just can't learn.
I want to kiss the cartoons. I fly too close to the sun, my wax wings melt, and I plunge into the ocean of heartbreak.
Cartoon heartbreak.
So because this is a pilot and I'm still ironing out the kinks, I don't truly know how to end the show.
Oh, this show never ends.
This is a dating show. You shouldn't iron out any kinks.
Ayo.
I do love being able to look at a game and know exactly who each character is built for. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, particularly, I mentioned this before, but I looked at Brian and I was like, oh, this is for people who love bears. Hello. Hello, Brian.
Well, that wasn't subtle.
No, I didn't say it was subtle, Alex. I never once said the word subtlety. I do appreciate that. And I love all the various archetypes of dating sims. And I think that, honestly, final thoughts on Dream Daddy is probably a good way to wind us up. I personally think, like, I tend to appreciate games with a little bit more gender variation. Like, I like to have multiple gender love interests, but that's, you know, not always what you get. And so it's fun, and also, like, not always what people are looking for. I'm not who all games are made for. So I think it's really awesome that there's this really prominent, like, fun, silly, sweet game with, like, just dads dating dads.
Yeah. I mean, something that I love about Dream Daddy is that there's literally no way to play it straight.
No, there is no way to play it straight. You're right.
Which I think is nice. And, like, something that is worth mentioning is that you can explicitly play, like, you can't, even though there are only male love interests, you can play your character as explicitly bisexual or as explicitly gay.
Yes, but you, like, can. That's very
either
true.
Either way, you can't play it straight. You cannot be a straight protag in this game, which infuriated a lot of people when it came out.
Which is hilarious.
Because they were expecting it to not be that. Like, they knew it was going to be a dating sim built around dads, but they didn't realize that you also would have to be a father. And that angered a lot of people, and I thought it was a really
straight
interesting and fascinating
thing.
And, you know, for a game where all of your love interests are, like, gender locked, it is a game that actually is surprisingly more gender inclusive than, like, I would expect a game like this
it
to
is.
Be.
It is. I mentioned before you that can, there's binders yeah. built into character customization. There are other...
You can play your character as explicitly trans. Mm-hmm. And, like, one of the main characters is canonically explicitly transgender.
Right, Damien is. And it's true. I also really did appreciate, like, as a bisexual myself, I really liked the option that when you're establishing your backstory with your daughter, you can talk about your ex-spouse and you can say that they were your husband or they mm-hmm. were your wife. Things like that are really...
Yeah, it's nice.
It's, like, clearly a lot of thought went into making people able to feel mm-hmm. as close to and as seen by and as included in the game as possible. And I think that that's really sweet. It makes me happy to see game developers, like, trying to create a world that anyone can slot themselves into.
Mm-hmm. Which was nice. It's a game that's also surprisingly, like, much more earnest than I was expecting.
It's very, like, sweet.
While the mechanic of it, like, you can only progress through the story by dating other dads. You have to do that. You cannot play the game without dating other dads. You also, like, are exploring a story that is not defined exclusively by your relationship to other dads. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating. And there are endings you can get which don't have you paired up with anyone. Like, you can just be someone who's trying to be the best father that you can be, and in the process have, like, made some friends. And that's nice.
Yeah. That's something else that I really appreciate. Obviously, I love, like, the romance aspects of these games because I love, like, media that explores romance. I was, like, also, this is an embarrassing confession, but, like, when I was younger, I would, like, get books from the library, and before I read the whole book, I would, like, look for the kissing mm-hmm. scenes.
Ooh.
And I would read the kissing scenes, and then I would go back and read the book.
Scandalous.
Knowing that I could look forward to the kissing scene. And so, like, I've always been someone who really enjoyed, like, exploring, like, romance and sexuality and, like, intimacy through fiction. But I think it's also really, really wonderful when a game has a good enough story and a good enough world and characters that you mm-hmm. care about that you can play through completely without romance and still enjoy it.
Yeah,
that's actually
for sure.
Also something I really like about... I am a complete, like... I am, like, a complete fangirl for Lunaris games, I guess. But, like, that's something I really like about their games is that they have a compelling enough story. There's usually, like, a built-in mystery to their stories where even if you don't play any romance routes, you're playing through, like, the mystery and solving that. And that's still interesting and fun, even if you keep everything mm-hmm. strictly platonic. Anyway, I also, yeah, I just, you know, I just think it's nice. The thesis statement of the entire podcast. I just think it's nice.
I think you're right to think it's nice.
Thank you. Did you guys click fall in love today?
Yes, indeedy. I would say that we did.
Wonderful.
Or I did, at least.
I do every day.
Aww.
May your hearts be full of pixels and dreams be full of daddies. So I wanted to say thank you to Alex and Andrew for joining me for the first episode of this, like, truly, like, this just silly, for fun, passion project. I just wanted to make something that would make me consistently happy to make. Like, I'm in the middle of my thesis right now, which is why it is truly unhinged of me to be starting a podcast. But I need kind of a way to release the pressure valve a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives me something like that I can make and have fun with, and maybe other people can get some enjoyment out of, that doesn't have to do with my job and doesn't have to do with my thesis. And so thank you guys for being accomplices to my internet crimes.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for inviting us to your crimes.
I was going to say, where can you be found? I would actually like to steal a little bit from a podcaster I really like, from Lacey Mosley of Scam Goddess. She asks her guests, instead of where can you be found, she says, where do you want to be found? In terms of people sharing their socials and all that good stuff at the end. So I'll just say that instead. Where do you want to be found? Or rather, what things would you like to plug? Whatever you'd like to say.
God, I would love to be found on any given day, just sort of at the top of a mountain somewhere. Me, my dog, a hot cup of coffee. That's peak.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are worthy will be able to find me.
Wow. That's very true. If the spirit is in your heart and your heart is pure, then you will find Andrew when you need him most.
You can find me on Twitter at Coffee Detective, but you're not allowed to follow me. Every time you want to see what I'm up to, you have to search it again. And you can skim through it, but you are only allowed to follow my account if you convince three other people to leave.
It's a very exclusive club.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's quite the requirement to be able to follow you.
I'm hoping that it's just too much work and they don't bother.
Or that. I am currently at LeetHacks, L33T underscore H4X, but I am no longer paranoid about people from my work trying to find me on Twitter, so I will probably change it soon.
Respect. Do you have any projects you want to plug?
Nope.
None whatsoever.
I mean, I guess when it gets back from hiatus, tune into A Horror Borealis if you like hearing these voices all together talking at the same time. Plus Tim.
And also
Plus
Tim.
I just
also
said.
Tim will be there.
Yay.
And our
I'll
friend
bring
Tim.
Tim on this show at some point. I'll have to pick a really, really suitably chaotic game.
I mean,
game
Doki Doki. I think is probably.
Please do a Doki Doki episode with
it.
Tim.
Yeah, well,
he does.
To finish it.
I never finished Dream Daddy, and you had me on here.
That's
true.
True.
But
Tim
Doki Literature Club experiences a pretty significant shift about halfway through the game that Tim has not reached yet.
Now,
so I do need him to at least get there.
I have finished Doki Doki Literature Club, not myself, but I have seen like walkthroughs, so I know how it ends.
Oh, didn't you watch me stream it one time?
Yes, that's
anyway.
That's what I said. I've watched walkthroughs. Mm-hmm. It was you. You did that.
I did do that.
You did
I brought
that
curse upon
yeah.
you. So I just extra thank you to Alex and Andrew for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this pilot presentation of Playing Games with My Heart. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day, wherever you are, no matter what you're going through. Having listened to this, I hope it was a pleasant diversion and not just, I don't know,
it was
a
nice,
non-pleasant
and I liked
diversion.
It. I love to talk to my friends about things that they love.
Me too, about things I love and things hopefully they love as well. So, thank you all for listening, and don't forget to follow your heart.